that today's presentation or document. Our first item on our agenda is opening welcome and purpose of the meeting. Can say you are, the meeting is officially opened and you are warmly welcome. The purpose of the meeting is to consider, or is the consideration of the 2019 budget review and recommendations report. So we had a session last week where entities and the department presented their findings as well as their annual report. So it's our role as a portfolio committee to can adopt the report with some recommendations as a portfolio committee, as a committee which is doing oversight to that particular department. However, I appreciate your attendance all the time. It seems as if all of us understand why we're here in Parliament, and I appreciate that. I will continue appreciating you. I will now move to item two, which is apologies. King, do you have any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. Chair, I've received an apology firstly from Honorable Langa, who indicated that he is running late, but he is coming. And then the other one is from Honorable Mbele, who indicated that he is a bit ill. So he has apologized. So those are the apologies that I've received. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's acknowledge the apologies. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda? Yes, Honorable Hoss.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
The mover, any secondment?
Second that,
thank you. It has been seconded. And then, King, the next item is consideration and adoption of the committee minutes. I believe our minutes, draft minutes of proceedings are in page one. Can we check the corrections on that particular page? Page one. Page two. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes for those who were present? Page one. page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Thank you. Can I have a mover to those who are present for the adoption? Honorable Somelang.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes. It's a true reflection of what transpired.
Thank you, Honorable Somelang. There is a mover. Any seconder? Seconder for those who are present. Thank you, Honorable Elwengo. Minutes have been seconded. They have been duly adopted. Now we'll move to the next item, which is presentation. It is consideration of the 2019 budget review and recommendations. I'll request Honorable Obabasbo, the Mayor, to take us through. Over to you.
Morning, honorable members, the chairperson. What we have done is to project a document on the screen. As we go through it, members are welcome to add, to subtract, to amend, or to make any contribution. Chairperson, what I will cover in terms of this report. There are seven sections. Section 1, on page 1, being an introduction. In fact, section 1 will start from page 1 up to page 4. Page 1, being an introduction, we are introducing a state of our economy. Which we are saying is weighing heavily on the mandate of the department and the government. Still on page 1, Chairperson, on 1.1, we are outlining the purpose of the budget review and recommendation report in terms of legislation as well that give effect to the BRRR. I move to page 2, Chairperson. On 1.2, we are highlighting the methodology that was used in the formulation of this BRRR, where we received presentation from various stakeholders, one of them being DPME, the Auditor General, the Financial and Fiscal Commission. They all gave us their input concerning the audit outcomes of the department and its entities. Chairperson, I must also indicate that we had invited a Department of a Public Service Administration to come and present specifically around the issue of the organizational structure. But due to the fact that they have received a communique from the Department of Small Business Development to say the organizational structure, in fact, the department will be going through a strategic planning process which implies that the organizational structure as well is likely to change as we move forward. Same on page 2, Chairperson 1.3, we highlight the mandate of the committee in terms of the constitution and the responsibilities of the committee, which is to exercise the oversight over the department, to pass legislation and public participation. On the next page, Chairperson, which is page 3, we look at the mandate of the department, particularly the areas that gives effect or mandate of the department, which is the NDP, the new growth path, the first generation MTSF, which started in 2014 and ending in 2019. We look at 1.4.1, the two entities that report to the department, one of which is CEDA. We look at the legislation that founded CEDA, which is the Public Finance Management Act. It is a Schedule 3A national public entity. You look at CIFA, also the act that founded CIFA, and towards the end of the report, honorable members, we are making a recommendation that the issue of CIFA ownership needs clarity once and for all. Right now, it was report. It's an entity of the Industrial Development Corporation, the same IDC which up until the recent elections was reporting to EDD. Now that EDD has been collapsed under the Department of Trade and Industry, it means CIFA will now be getting its allocation via the Department of Trade and Industry, and we are saying this is not sustainable. In terms of the outline of the report, Chairperson, on Section 2, we have just covered Section 1 now. On Section 2, I'm on page 4 now. On Section 2, we set out the key policy focus areas for the department, which are in National Development Plan, New Growth Path, Medium-Term Strategic Framework, State of the Nation Address, the Strategic Plan of the Department and Strategic Plan of the Committee, and also the strategic plans of the entities. On Section 3, we revisit, we'll spend a bit of time here, Chairperson, we'll revisit the 2017-18 recommendations and perhaps go through the responses of the department. On Section 4, we'll consider the department financial performance against its allocation for the previous financial year. On Section 5, we look at the service delivery performance, which specifically look at the key performance indicators. On Section 6, we look at the departmental entities, that is CIFA and CEDA. On Section 7, honorable members, we look at the observation. I will also welcome, invite members to do their own observations if maybe what we have covered is not adequate. The last, Section 8, is basically a synthesis of recommendations, past and present, based on the deliberations informed by the department in each of the sections discussed in the document. Chairperson, I think here again, we are making an observation towards the end of the document is to say, usually, the recommendations, there are two sets of recommendations. One relates to the governance, which we'll usually send to the department for them to respond, and the other one will go to the to National Treasury, to the Minister of Finance. Say, for instance, we believe that the department is not adequately funded. But due to the fact that throughout the Fifth Parliament, the department is actually underspent, we have not necessarily made any recommendation to the Department of to the National Treasury, perhaps to request additional funding to that effect. I'm on page 5, Chairperson. We will just go through, I'm not going to go line by line, or I'll just go by paragraph by paragraph. We look at the overview on page 5, Chairperson. We look at the overview of the strategic and operational environment. We look at the macro policies that gives effect to the department. We look at the relationship between the national de- between the mandate of the department and the National Development Plan, in particular the two chapters where the department is expected to make a contribution, which is chapter 3 and chapter 6. We'll also look at the relationship between the mandate of the department and the new growth path. Next page, chairperson number 6, we look at the MTSF 2014-2019. As we are aware, the 2019-2024 MTSF is currently being developed. Hopefully, it should be done before the end of October. That's what we are told. But in terms of this particular report, it's based on the annual performance that was done for the 2018-2019. Therefore, it's the 2014-2019 MTSF that is applicable. The chapters that are relevant there, Chairperson, would be your Chapter 4 and your Chapter 5, your Chapter 7 on the outgoing MTSF. We look at the State of the Nation address. Being the year of elections, there have been two State of the Nation addresses this year. And then the strategic plan of the department, there was one done in 2014. There was another one done in 2015. Then the last one, this report is based on the last strategic plan of the department, which was approved by the minister in 2017. Therefore, the four programs that are being reported in this annual review are based on that strategic planning document. The next page, Chairperson, on 2.6, it's the strategic plan of the committee and parliament. What we did at the it was not necessarily the beginning of the fifth parliament, but what we did was to go through a strategic planning session as the portfolio committee, where we came up with our own strategic plan with 30 strategic objectives, drawing from the work that was done by the DTI before some of the functions were transferred from the DTI to the Department of Small Business Development. We will be going through the same process probably at the beginning of next year, 2020. Then, Chairperson, on number 3 now, where we do the summary of previous key recommendations. Here, I indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that I will prefer to go through each recommendation and look at the responses of the department. My apprehension, Chairperson and honourable members, you will see as we go through these recommendations. I've noted that there seems to be a misalignment between what the portfolio committee is recommending and the responses from the department. I will indicate as we go through the document. Number 2, there seem to be a noticeable departure from the fifth parliament, from the fifth administration, therefore the fifth parliament. As a result, some of the good work that was done during the fifth parliament risk being thrown out during the sixth parliament. I will raise those issues or highlight those key as we go through the document. The recommendation number 1, Chairperson, that was done during the 2018 BRRR report was, despite the challenges, the portfolio committee is of the view that the department has taken necessary steps in addressing some of these challenges. The key word there, Chairperson, was around the structure. We went through the 2018 BRRR process. The structure of the department had not been approved by DPSA. As required in terms of the Public Service Act. So the department here is correctly raising the issue that they will be going through a strategic planning process, therefore the structure is likely to change going forward, which is a fair response. Number two, it's around the AG recommendations, where we invited the department, as per AG recommendations, to say the department on a quarterly basis must report to the portfolio committee as to, you know, the progress in terms of implementing the recommendations of the AG. The department response here is saying the department will be providing the report on findings of the AG to the PC and submit it as per part of its quarterly report, but this hasn't happened. It hasn't been happening. I think it's one of the areas that we need to flag. Number three, the department and CEDA, we invited them to give us a detailed plan of action on how they plan to recover monies that had been paid to one of the board members who was also a CIFA CEO in terms of the National Small Enterprise Act. It is not permissible for a member, an employee of the state, to receive board fees. So we raised these issues since 2015. Then it was also picked up by the Auditor General. So the response from the department here, which is fair, perhaps with my colleagues, we will have to do a follow-up on this one. Towards the last sentence there, it says, as per guidance from the National Treasury and provisions of Treasury Regulation 20.2.1, the board member has to forfeit payment or forfeit annual leave. The board member has to take one day's leave from his or her employer for each day of board meeting. Discussions in this regard have been concluded with the former CIFA CEO, and confirmation or verification of leave days forfeited from the employing organ of state has been received. The final verification is underway for finalization before the 31st of May. We may need to follow up on this one, Chairperson, with my colleagues. Recommendation number four, the department and CEDA to furnish the committee with a plan in addressing the National Treasury had actually raised an issue and the Auditor General with regards to regular expenditure incurred in the implementation of national gazelles. The department response, CEDA management made a submission to National Treasury to condone the amount of the regular expenditure. Additional information that was requested by National Treasury on corrective actions taken to prevent circumstances that led to this irregular expenditure was submitted to them. CEDA is also taking disciplinary action against management officials that are currently in the employment that were key in the processes for preparation and finalization of the contract, while other managers are no longer employed by CEDA. We actually don't know why some of those managers are no longer employed by CEDA. Perhaps it's one issue that Chairperson went to flag, because when the net is closing in, there is a tendency from the government officials to tender in their resignations to avoid more trouble. On number five, the department must immediately deal with issues of underperformance. In its own admission, strategic post, this one, Chairperson, is around the vacancy rate at the senior management level, particularly of the DDGs. The response from the department is to say the filling of post will be dependent on the finalization of the structure. Again, we go back to that recommendation to say the department will be going through a strategic planning session. The structure is likely to change as we move forward. On number six, it's around the issue of the National Small Enterprise Act. The response, Chairperson and honorable members from the department, is to say instead of reviewing the entire act at this point in time, the department will rather go for three distinct amendments to the National Small Enterprise Act, one of which will be the additional clauses to allow for the establishment of the Office of the Ombudsman. The Office of the Ombudsman, it's one issue that I would really like honorable members to flag, because I'm not sure if in terms of the Ombudsman can bite the same way as an institution that is created in terms of the law, which is what the Portfolio Committee is recommending. Number two, it's additional clause to enable the minister to issue regulations on matters pertaining to small business. Number three, it's additional clause to enable the minister to deal with licensing of small business. Again, with my colleagues, we'll make a follow-up here because the additional clause that is being referred to here, it cannot be done on the National Small Enterprise Act, but it can only be done on the Business Act of 2009, which the department ought to have reviewed during the 5th Parliament. So the number three refers to that particular act, the Business Act, not necessarily the National Small Enterprise Act. On number seven, Chairperson, the high failure rate of cooperatives is around that 88% failure rate, which the department has not addressed. Again, here, Chairperson and honourable members, you have heard the department is moving towards what is now called a blended finance, meaning even the social enterprises like cooperatives will have to apply and be given loans. Perhaps this is one area, Chairperson, that we need to flag because the obfuscation continues. We see the Department of Social Development, for instance. They've got their own programs around cooperatives. The Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, they've got their own programs around cooperatives, and they are giving out grants, not loans to cooperatives. Perhaps it's one area of attention for the Portfolio Committee moving forward. On number eight, Chairperson, it's around the use of the CFIs and cooperative banks. This was in light of the pending visit to, in fact, it was after the visit to Spain, where the Portfolio Committee visited Mondragon Cooperative. And, you know, in terms of implementing the resolutions that we took as contained in the Spain's travel report, we have not seen any activity around the implementation of the resolutions that we took around the utilization of the CFIs and cooperative banks. So, again, here, the department is of the view that they are taking a strategic approach with regards to the issue of SMMEs. They are in the process. We have not been briefed as a portfolio committee around this particular issue, but they are in the process of developing a small business finance policy, which will also cover this matter. Number nine, it's around the entity called a Cooperative Bank Development Agency, which some of the functions have been transferred to the Reserve Bank or an agency called Prudential Authority. The department has responded here to say there is a working relationship between the department, CBDA, and Prudential Authority. Then I'll jump to recommendation number 10. Chairperson, it's around the rescue strategy. Since 2015, the Portfolio Committee has been saying CIFA must come up with a rescue strategy because we picked up that there are a number of SMMEs that were funded by CIFA that were going under. So the view of the Portfolio Committee was to then say CIFA must, in conjunction with the department, must develop a rescue strategy. In terms of the tracking tool that we were using during the 5th Parliament, Chairperson, this area of delivery is red because on a number of occasions we requested this rescue strategy to be shared with the Portfolio Committee, but it hasn't been shared. Yet the response here says the rescue strategy was finalized over a year ago and is being implemented. Perhaps, again, it's one area that we may have to follow up. On recommendation number 11, Chairperson has previously recommended Section 2 of the Small Enterprise Act. There is a recommendation there for the department to appoint the advisory board. The response from the department is the process of appointing the board is underway and will be finalized in November 2019. The portfolio committee has not been briefed around this particular issue, yet we made the recommendation. I'm assuming this is now a response, an official response from the department, but it was out in the media following a complaint from the public protector. Number 12, Chairperson, it relates to the Cooperative Act. It relates to the institutions, your cooperative development agency, your cooperatives advisory council, your cooperative development fund. The department is of the view that they will not be going ahead with this particular, creating these particular institutions, because in their view, the cooperatives are now pure businesses. This imply that there has to be an amendment of the Cooperatives Act, sort of maybe to remove the recommendation that this particular institution must be created. Then number 13, Chairperson, it's around it's again around the issue of when the portfolio strategic framework approach was presented to the portfolio committee, there was a recommendation. In fact, by that time, CIFA CEO was already sitting on the board of CEDA. So we made a recommendation to say the same reciprocation must apply to the CEDA CEO. She must sit on the CIFA board. Now the response here is to say Memorandum of Incorporation does not make provision for the appointment of non-executive directors. The response here is irrelevant. CEDA CEO can actually sit on the CIFA board. That is what we are recommending as an ex-officio member. The last one, Chairperson, is around the issue of 30-day payment, where we were highlighting the Treasury regulations related specifically to the issue of non-payment of service providers within 30 days. The recommendation of the portfolio committee then was to say, all the mechanisms that we have tried have not yielded any positive results. Therefore, the time was opportune for the parliament to legislate. Then we said, in terms of what we were recommending, the creation of the National Small Business Commission, it must be created in terms of the Act so that it can bite. But the response here is to say the department has a more practical approach, meaning the approach of the portfolio committee was not practical. That is pursuing, which is to push for the amendment of the Act, that is the National Small Enterprise Act, to enable the charge of automatic interest on more than 30 days outstanding payments for SMMEs. There are serious implications on this one, Chairperson, because when a particular department do its annual budget on an annual basis, they do not foresee that they will not be able to pay the service providers on a specific period of time. And the question is, where would that money come from to pay for those particular interests? Then this money will be deemed as irregular expenditure by Auditor General, and the official responsible for this expenditure will be expected to reimburse the state for the interest payment. Well, it's an area, Chairperson, that I thought we may have to discuss as a portfolio committee moving forward. On the next page, Honourable Members, page 15, we now look at the overview and assessment of financial performance. That is on page 15. Basically, Chairperson, it's a synthesis of what was presented by DPME, by Auditor General, by the department, as well as the entities. One thing to note, Chairperson, is that the department achieved unqualified audit, however, with findings. The Auditor General has made recommendations with regards to improving the performance of the department. Still on page 15, Chairperson, what I would like to bring, because we are making a recommendation on this one. In fact, we have been making this recommendation since 2015, again, as a portfolio committee, to say the allocation, as you see on table 2, Honourable Members, you look at the allocation of administration which is a mere support program of the department. You look at the program number two, which is sector policy and research. In fact, administration is allocated 127 million. You look at the allocation for sector policy and research, 22 million. Integrated cooperatives, key program of the department, 116. Enterprise development and entrepreneurship, it's 1 billion because it constitutes 90% that should be transferred to CIFA. So we are making a recommendation here, Chairperson, that when we do the benchmarking of other departments, it's anomaly for an administration program to be allocated a chunk of the budget from the department. On the next, we are making an observation here and we are making a recommendation. We'll also look at the CETA one later on to see how administration program is allocated its budget. We are also making a an observation and recommendation. I'm on page 16, honorable members, that major cost drivers being transferred to CETA. This is one particular issue that was again flagged by the Financial and Fiscal Commission during their presentation to say it's a bit of a concern that a large chunk of the DSPD budget comes in the forms of transfers and subsidies, one to CETA, and secondly to internal programs like your CIS, your BBSDP, and your NIBUS. Then, still on page 16, Chairperson, we look at 4.1. 4.1, basically what we do there, you look at the funding proposal for 2019 MTEF. Usually, it should be three outer years. But in this particular case, we have only looked at the two years, which is 2021 and 2022. Basically the allocations for per each program, administration, sector policy research. Again here, honorable members, we have been told that the structure is likely to change as we move forward. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. Then I will jump to page 19, honorable members, to look at the expenditure trends. Page 19. In terms of this document, we are also required to look at expenditure trends either for the first quarter of the current financial year now, which is 2019-2020, or the second quarter. But the second quarter was not available, is not available as of yet. So here, Chairperson, I would like to bring to your attention again the continuation of the underspending by the department during this current financial year. For instance, the overall underspending for the first quarter is 93 million rands. Honorable members, on program one, there is an underspending of 1.1 million. On program two, there is an underspending of 2.3 million. On program three, there is an underspending of 11.5 million. On program four, there is an underspending of 78 million. That is for quarter one. Quarter two, as I've indicated, Chairperson, is not covered here. The next page, which is 20, it's a table which sort of gives a highline in terms of the main appropriation, the budget that is currently available, the quarter one actual expenditure, what has been spent. Expenditure is a percentage of available appropriation and the quarter one projected expenditure. Then on 4.3, Chairperson, the National Treasury has sensitized the committee to look at this slow spending on incentive scheme, which keeps on persisting. The Portfolio Committee, again, Chairperson, is being drawn to the rollout of the Small Business Innovation Fund, which, as far as we know, or which during quarter one was not spent. Then we move to section 5, honorable members. Again here, we now, okay, the previous part we are looking at the financial performance of the department. This particular part now we're looking at the key performance indicator. We look at the report of the Auditor General, which also indicated that the department obtained unqualified audit with findings, with the two entities, CEDA and CIFA, obtaining unqualified clean audits. Then on 5.2, which is now the program performance, we're saying the department had set out to achieve 34 annual targets over the previous financial year, but they could only achieve 21 targets, which equates to 62% of success, while 13 targets, or an equivalent of 38%, was not realized. We are making an observation here, Chairperson, and a recommendation that in terms of the budget expenditure of 95%, it does not correlate with the 62% of the targets achieved. Under achievement in core programs 3 and 4 at 43% and 71% respectively is of a concern. Then on table 9, honorable members, it's just a synthesis of what one has indicated above. The next page, on page 22, we look at program 1. On page 23, program 2, program 4, the budget allocation, the appropriation, the actual expenditure, the under expenditure or over expenditure, if any. But throughout the programs, there's been under expenditure. On page 24, honorable members, we look at the review of the departmental entities. As indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that I would like to draw your attention to, I'm on page 24, honorable members. Let me draw your attention to table 14. Look at number 3, the administration. The administration there is allocated 171 million. Then the core functions of the department, which is the enterprise development and CEDA technology programs, are each allocated 471 and 229 respectively. This is actually the trend across most of the government departments. What we're perhaps picking up with the Department of Small Business Development is that the structure of the department has actually not been approved by DPSA, which is why we see this continuation where Program 1, which is administration, is continuously allocated large chunk of the budget. Then I'm jumping to page 25, Chairperson. It's just a review of the CEDA program summary and budget allocation. Then on page 26, we look at CIFA. At CIFA, there, Chairperson, the issue which came to the fore, which was the issue that was discussed thoroughly, I remember, was around the auditors. There had been a recommendation to say, due to the issues that were surrounding KPMG, the auditors must be changed. But it did not end there, Chairperson. An additional recommendation was to say, looking at the mandate of CIFA and the responsibility that it has to dispense, it would be wise for the Auditor General to take over the auditing functions of CIFA. But what has happened was KPMG has been replaced by Sizwe Zwaluba Gobodo, SNG. We are also making a recommendation, the Chairperson. Then on page 27, it's a MEM, the performance of the direct lending. Then on page 28, Chairperson, there are two issues here. We are also making a recommendation towards the end of the report to say the wholesale SMME lending performance. Members raised an objection that CIFA seems to be abdicating its responsibility of giving small short-term credits to SMMEs. They would rather prefer to use the wholesale lending, which has its own implications in terms of the interest rate that is being charged to your small enterprises. There was, for instance, a view that, you know, the cost of credit for SMMEs is quite huge, considering that the money will first move from national treasury, from national treasury to EDD, from EDD to IDC, from IDC to CIFA, from CIFA to a wholesale lender, which was a major concern. Number three, Chairperson, we are also making a recommendation. In fact, it's not a recommendation. It's to say, e-portfolio committee, it would be good if it can request the support staff to write to CIFA to request a list of black financial intermediaries that has been given this kind of money by CIDA. On those intermediaries that have been given money under this program, it's a request, Chairperson, that the secretariat must be directed to request from CIFA a list of the beneficiaries, those that have been funded by these existing wholesale lenders. Then on page 29, Chairperson, it's just a summary of the Kula credit guarantee. Again, I've never come across, in fact, no member during the Fifth Parliament has ever come across an entity that has benefited from this kind of a program from CIFA. We may want to request again a list of beneficiaries under this particular program, just to satisfy ourselves that these programs are indeed in line with the government objective of expanding access to finance to SMMEs. Then on page 30, Chairperson, we're starting with the observations. The first observation being 7.1, where I will go through each observation one by one. On 7.1, Chairperson, we are saying, this being the last BRRR and annual reporting centered on the fifth administration and parliament, the portfolio committee wishes to thank the outgoing Minister Lindiwe Zulu for having initiated the daunting and complex process of establishing a new department. Under her leadership, a very good foundation was laid. Similarly, the portfolio committee welcomed the new Minister Khumbudzo Ntshavheni and applaud her for having ensured that she hit the ground running from day one. She is taking over a critical portfolio at a time when the country's economic growth prospects keep waning and unemployment, youth and women in particular, is on the rise. As alluded to earlier, economic growth is expected to reach 1.5% in 2019, rising to 2.1% by 2021. However, small businesses can be that next frontier necessary in turning the sustainable job creation curve up. Observation number two, honorable members, the portfolio committee is pleased with the overall performance of the portfolio during the previous financial year, having attained two unqualified clean audits from the entities and unqualified audit from the department. However, we are saying here, if the AG report is anything to go by, it means there is still a room for improvement, particularly from the department, where there were issues raised with regards to their audit. The Auditor General's report also painted a picture of a department and entities that are trying their utmost, despite limited resources and the poor state of the country's economic activity. According to the AG, the quality of the financial statements has been maintained and no material adjustments have been identified through the audit process at both audities, DSBD and CIDA. Maybe in hindsight, Chairperson, we have not made this recommendation, King, to say maybe we should have invited the SNG to come and do a report on CIFA, the same way Auditor General was doing reporting on CIDA and CIFA. maybe going forward we need to, because in the past we have not been inviting KPMG. We have only been inviting AG to come and give us information around CEDA in the department. Then on 7.4, the committee notes, however, areas of discontent from the AG involving material non-compliance relating to the incentives awarded, which was identified in the current and prior audit period at the DSBD, and remains the greatest stumbling block to achieving clean audit outcomes. Now we know the reasons why the department is not achieving unqualified clean audit, but it's unqualified audit with findings. The review processes applied over the financial reporting processes must be extended to the performance reporting environment. On 7.5, some of the AG observations relating to the incentives were as follows. 7.5.1, reviews by the adjudication committees to ensure that applicants met the requirements, provided the required documentation as per the BBSDP and CIS guidelines, were not effective. The next one, appropriate measures were not maintained to identify employees of the state who applied for incentive grants for both BBSDP and CIS. 19 instances were noted where such applications were approved. Some BBSDP files did not contain evidence of site verifications performed prior to approval of the applications. Post-approval site visits for grants paid to applicants as required by BBSDP guidelines were not always performed. In other words, the department would just take the sample. In some instances, the AG could not verify the assets purchased with the department's funding. It's the same experience we had when we visited Mpumalanga as a portfolio committee. In fact, other provinces as well. Next one, instances were noted where the beneficiary and the preferred supplier shared common directorship. Some beneficiaries submitted more than one application under various businesses that were approved. Next one, the following significant areas came to the attention of the AG and little progress has been made to address them. The control measures designed to ensure that transfers relating to the BBSDP and CIS were only made to valid and eligible beneficiaries were not always effective. Management did not timely respond to findings noted in the 2015-16 financial year, 17 financial year, 18 financial year audits, and as a result, a number of repeat findings were registered during the previous financial year. An increased level of oversight was required over performance reporting against predetermined objectives to ensure that the achievement and reasons for variance are supported by appropriate evidence. This one, Chairperson, is related to the what was picked up by the AG, the overachievement, where a key performance area was overachieved by 170%, which might be an indication that from the beginning, the drafting of that particular key performance indicator was not done accurately. The next bullet point, management does not respond with the required agency to the AG messages about addressing risks and improving internal controls. Inadequate implementation and monitoring of action plans by these role players to address key audits, to address key audit matters have been identified as a root cause for the repeat findings. The instability and prolonged vacancies in key positions can cause a competency gap and affect the rate of improvement in audit outcomes. Capacity to undertake the necessary oversight through pre- and post-site visits was not adequate. Then the next recommendation, 7.6, the Portfolio Committee notes that following the state reconfiguration and pending finalization of the 2019-2024 MTSF, DSBD has already indicated its intent for a strategic review process that most probably will also affect the organizational structure of the department. The committee is hopeful, therefore, that the issue of vacancies at senior management level would be would be, as a consequence, be laid to rest. On 7.7, Chairperson, during the course of the fifth parliament, the portfolio committee cautioned the department concerning the distribution of personnel and budget in favor of administration, a support program, at the expense of the core programs of the department. During the previous financial year, the staff complement under Program 1. Now here we are expanding, not necessarily looking at only the budget, we are looking at now the staff complement, was 88 out of 99 approved establishment. So Program 1 has an approved establishment of 99 personnel. Program 2, it's 19 out of 22, meaning the approved establishment on Program 2, the number of approved personnel is 22. On Program 3, it's 38 out of 40. On Program 4, it's 47 out of 47. As indicated earlier on, Honourable Members, it's not only the budget, it's also around the issue of personnel. The staff complement at Program 1 is quite huge considering or compared to the other three core programs of the department. Furthermore, the committee has in the past raised the issue of staff complement vis-a-vis the budget, where 90%, now it's the staff complement in relation to the 90% of the DSBG budget that gets transferred to CEDA and also to various programs of the department, such as the CIS, the BBSDP, and the NIBUS. This is one particular area that requires special focus, as the structure perhaps was not approved by the DPSA. On 7.8, furthermore, oh no, we've done 7.8. On 7.9, on policy and legislative front, we are saying here all initiatives planned for 2016, 2017, 2018, up until 2019 has been deferred for finalization during the current financial year. This includes, by the way, the National Small Enterprise or National Small Business Act. In terms of the APP of the department, which was presented this year, it says this deliverable will be achieved during this financial year. The changes that you saw earlier where the department will now do the amendments, slight amendments on the Act, it is actually something new. On 7.10, or you know, on the legislative and policy front again, it also includes the review of the Cooperative Act. The department has already indicated that it's doing away with the institutions which had been recommended by the Cooperatives Act of 2005, such as the Cooperative Development Agency. It therefore means the Cooperatives Act might require some amendments, including the cooperative strategy. Then on 7.10, we are making that observation, Chairperson, to say KPMG has been replaced by SNG. However, the Portfolio Committee is still of the view that CIFA, considering the work that CIFA does on behalf of the government and people of South Africa, and the amount of money that is apportioned to the agency on an annual basis, the committee is of the view that CIFA books should better be handled by the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, which is Auditor General. Likewise, the committee observes the uncertainty at the institution board of directors and the executive management level. CIFA does not have a permanent chairperson, nor does it have an accounting officer or chief executive officer. They are all on an acting capacity. So we are saying it's one issue that the accounting authority or the department must pay particular attention to. In terms of the recommendations, Chairperson, I'm on page 33. Recommendation 8.1, it is envisaged that the 2019-2024 MTSF shall have been completed before the end of quarter three. The Portfolio Committee is urging the department to immediately resume crafting the strategic plan that complies with all the government prescripts pertaining to the strategic plans and organizational structure as prescribed in the Public Finance Management Act, Public Service Act, at least before the end of quarter three of 2019-2020 financial year. That is to say before the end of this financial year, or before the end of this year, not financial year. As MPET found, the Portfolio Committee recommends that the department ensure that all plans are aligned to the national priorities to enable effective monitoring, and that the department also attempts to conduct evaluation and make use of the outcomes thereof to improve and shape future programs. 8.3, in line with 8.2 above, the department needs to address the challenges noted with the strategic management environment, that is annual performance plan and the monitoring of organizational performance and institutionalization of evaluations. On 8.4, management of financial disclosures within the required time frames must be attended to, as non-adherence to prescripts in this area could pose serious risks for the department in terms of potential conflict of interest or its SMS doing business with the state. On 8.5, considering that other state departments such as EDD have been collapsed or reconfigured, this provides DSBD an opportunity to consolidate all small enterprise functions such as rural and township economy and budgets scattered in various other departments. The rural and township economy, honorable members, was sitting at EDD during the fifth parliament. The department must guide the portfolio committee which of the functions, budget and personnel will be relocated or transferred to the DSBD so that if required, the portfolio committee can start the process of interacting with other portfolio committees of parliament before the finalization of the strategic planning process for both the department and the portfolio committee. On 8.6, the strategic plan of the department must also pronounce on the institutional realignment of entities. This is a standing recommendation to transfer CIFA to DSBD and also to amalgamate CIFA and CIDA into a single entity. We are again making this recommendation, Chairperson, going forward. On 8.7, the utilization of financial intermediaries, in brackets, to be specific, we're referring to wholesale lending by CIFA, was raised sharply by the committee during the BRRR process and flagged by the Financial and Fiscal Commission as increasing cost of capital for struggling small enterprises. Again, the standing recommendation of the portfolio committee is that CIFA should consider insourcing wholesale lending facility, or CIFA should consider alternative approaches of lending money to its clients. There is a need to consider a model that will be cost-effective and sympathetic to circumstances of small enterprises, and most importantly, it must accelerate the use of CFIs and co-op banks as part of a broader government strategy to streamline access to finance, particularly for survivalist, small, micro, medium, and cooperative enterprises. Officials from the department were part of the team that traveled with the portfolio committee to visit Mondragon Cooperative in Spain. The department, therefore, has a responsibility to implement resolutions emanating from its own travel report. The assumption is, following that visit to Spain, the department developed its own travel report. The portfolio committee has not seen this travel report, despite the request from the department to be finished with the same. On 8.8, the department must prioritize the stabilization of CIFA through appointments of permanent accounting authority, that is the board and the chairperson of the board, and accounting officer, that is the CEO, before this undermines the agency's operations and stability. And on 8.9, one of the typical topical and delivery area for the department is the use of market access. Without strong private sector partnerships, the department is not likely to go further in terms of realizing this objective. Hence, the portfolio committee called to the department to spearhead a mix of strategic interventions What we picked up here, honorable members, during the fifth parliament was that the department was inward looking, or the focus was only on the state, whereas in fact the focus should be both in public and private sector. We also recommended that among other things that could be looked at would be the development of the wholesale and retail charter. South Africa does not have a wholesale and retail charter, yet there is a CETA. There is a wholesale and retail CETA. We also recommended a development of a comprehensive market access strategy with clear plans to leverage private and public procurement opportunities. On 8.10, owing to the recent launch of the district-based service delivery model, the Portfolio Committee standing recommendation is that the department must work hand in gloves with all spheres of government and ensure that it upscale the involvement of LEDs structure by active participation, for instance, in IDP sessions, including the introduction of a more robust mechanism in ensuring that there is a better coordination between activities of the respective provincial governments and the DSPD. And various other initiatives and mechanisms that bring life to DSPD programs, such as the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, the National Spatial Development Perspective, Presidential Poverty Nodal Points, and Transversal Agreement, to mention a few. Again, this recommendation, Chairperson, relates to what other provinces are currently doing now in terms of coming up with their own bills and legislation around, for instance, the issue of the xenophobia, around the issue of the spaza shop and informal trading. So we are saying there should be a uniformity where the department is taking a lead on these particular issues to drive the agenda of the provinces and the local government. On 8.11, the department must ensure that the guidelines for the different incentive schemes are revised to ensure that they are aligned to the objectives of the scheme and are not susceptible to abuse. On 8.12, management should ensure strict adherence to the guidelines and standard operating procedures of the BBSDP and CIS incentive scheme. The responsibility for ensuring compliance with BBSDP guidelines should be clearly allocated, and the responsible officials should be held accountable for any non-compliance of these guidelines. Management should also undertake site visits to verify that the goods and services were actually delivered or received by the recipients through pre- and post-site visits. On 8.14, suspected misrepresentations by beneficiaries, suppliers, and network facilitators must be investigated and the necessary action must be taken. I'm on last page, Chairperson, page 35. On 8.15, the department should perform an independent assessment on the reasonability of the quotations received from the beneficiaries to identify instances of abuse and ensure that value for money is received. On 8.16, the Portfolio Committee standing recommendation in this regard, which has also been affirmed by the AG, is for the department to consider enhancing the role of CEDA in the adjudication of these incentives and allocation and monitoring processes of the incentive schemes, as the entity has shown sound controls. Throughout the fifth parliament, CEDA achieved unqualified clean audit. Therefore, it has shown sound controls over these processes, and it has a wider geographical presence. On 8.17, the review of the National Small Enterprise Act must be accelerated and tabled to the Portfolio Committee as DSPD Annual Performance Plan 2019-2020 before the end of the current financial year. We note what has been suggested by the department to say this will only be achieved during the next financial year, which is 2020 to 2021. The suggestion of the Portfolio Committee again has been the revised act or any bill must incorporate dispute resolution mechanism, such as the Small Enterprise or Small Business Commission and Tribunal in a similar fashion to National Credit Act and Competition Act, which founded the Competition Commission, or the Credit Act, it founded the National Credit Regulator. So we are saying here these institutions are created in terms of the Act. So the question for the members to discuss going forward, not today, is the issue around the Ombudsman, which is not perhaps created in terms of the Act in a similar fashion as these particular agencies that the Portfolio Committee is recommending should be created. The last one, honourable members, in addition, DSBD position with respect to the review of the Corporates Act as amended must be clarified to the Portfolio Committee, as these have implications on the program and budget of the committee. So are reviews of the integrated strategy on the promotion and entrepreneurship strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises, and review of the integrated strategy on the development and promotion of cooperatives. These two strategies were not reviewed throughout the Fifth Parliament. It ends there, Chairperson. Then I will take inputs, contributions, additions, subtraction from members. Chairperson, you will guide whether we should go back and do it one by page by page, or members were taking notes, we'll just zoom straight on pages of interest to members. I thank you.
Thank you. According to the agenda, we are supposed to break 40. Let's have 5 minutes break. Thank you.